Our scripture lesson today comes from Mark chapter 16. The whole chapter. For the sermon titled, Showing the Signs. Funny thing about Mark chapter 16, part of the verses that you have in today's Bible is often called out as not being there in the most ancient manuscripts. It wasn't until later that these words were found and added in. But in Mark, we detail how Jesus rises from the dead, and he speaks of signs, and he speaks of things to come, and he speaks of baptism. And so the gospel writer starts when the Sabbath was over. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had driven out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11. As they were eating, he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." And after the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his words by the signs that accompanied it. Powerful. Powerful set of scriptures right there. Let's think about that for a minute and call on the Lord to lead us in prayer. Please pray with me. Father, there is a lot to do this morning. And so we ask that you would set our hearts for the task ahead. That you would guide us into what is next. That you would bless this service and honor us with the words that you have given me to speak. May they be full. May they be teaching. May they go out and come back even fuller, Father. May they be what we need to equip us to continue the walk, showing the signs that we are saved. We ask you for these things, Father, in Jesus' precious name. And all of his children said, Amen. So we all have to see everywhere around us signs, right? You drive everywhere, you walk everywhere. There's a sign out in front of the church here. And a lot of people will drive by and say, "I see you're still preaching up there because I saw your name on the board." I ain't quite sure how to take that sometimes. But everywhere we look, there is some kind of sign telling us something about something about something. And sometimes it gets a little confusing. At my job, where safety is number one, they repainted the roads inside the compound where I report to down in Spring Gardens. There's a lot of roadway down there. So they restriped the road and they put in the stop bars for the stop signs. And the speed limit through there is 10 miles an hour. And they paint that on the road. You've seen it before. Stop ahead, you know, speed limit so much. And they messed it up. And everybody gets a big laugh out of it. It says, mile per hour ahead, 10. But everybody reads that sign. It's supposed to say 10 miles an hour ahead. And I get a big kick out of it. So I gathered up what I think are some of the more funnier church signs that I have ever seen. They make me laugh to this day, but they make you stop and think. I didn't get all the churches they were from. I just took the signs and what they said. The first one reads, whoever stole our AC units off the church, keep them, because it's going to be hot where you're going. That's pretty funny. Another one I see, and I've seen this one quite often, it says, on a church sign, it says, honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want to meet him. This is what I thought was funny. It says, stop, drop, and roll ain't going to work in hell. Choose the bread of life. Otherwise, you are toast. Come on, that one was funny. We need a bigger sign because I got some that I could make up out there. Somebody at church had me in mind when they wrote this. It said, I can't do it. It said, I was addicted to the hokey pokey, but I turned myself around. If I ever see this one on that sign, I quit. This next one. It says, come and hear our pastor. He's not very good, but he's fast. And this one I thought was really neat. It said, a lot of kneeling will keep you in good standing. And pretty clever, ain't it? But today, as we get ready to go down and show an outward sign, the one I liked the best wasn't funny. It made me think. It says, you can't enter heaven unless Jesus enters you. Say amen. So everywhere around us are signs. There was one I saw recently that said, and I wonder about these things. I wonder about people when I see them. It said, the sign said, the edges of this sign are sharp. Do not touch them. Really? I had to work on a riding mower here a while back. Now, this riding mower was an old style riding mower. And a man gave me the book to work on the riding mower that came with it. It was the owner's manual. Now, this riding mower is kind of like what Forrest Gump drove, you know. You sit on top of the engine. The engine was underneath the seat. And in the front end of that book, it says, and I'm pretty quote right on it, it says, make sure you replace the seat before you sit down on the engine. You have to tell someone that? They should get a pair of scissors and a comb to cut their yard. But we don't believe. Sometimes we get lost. We think about the signs and what they are showing, and yet we forget what the truth of it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the first 5 verses, Paul writing his letter to Timothy, had these words to say, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Children, I only see my two, and I don't understand that. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, having nothing to do with them. How many people know that these signs are currently happening today in this world? And yet we don't pay attention. We do because we're Christians. We do because we see the signs. We do because the world are showing the signs. And yet sometimes we even fall short of it. We ignore the truth. We ignore the signs. We say, well, it's kind of okay. It's not. And that's what we need. We need signs. I have often heard people say that they would love to see a sign from heaven to know that Jesus is real. Anybody ever heard those words? You know, if Jesus ain't here today, he's not walking around, he could show a sign every now and then. Whatever happened to like the days of the Old Testament when all this stuff used to take place and God talked to everybody? And I have to tell them, God's talking, you're just not listening. God's given the signs, you're just not seeing them. God's trying to get through to you, but your head of poured concrete is not letting it in. And that is what is being written about in the Bible in the last days. It's not all right. And what's worse is when we deny our own signs. When we see things that are being brought to us, and we don't believe it. I make a lot of fun of it, and I am about probably the dumbest person you'll ever meet when it comes to an infomercial on TV. I really am. I am walking stupid when one of them things come on. I don't care what they're selling. The other day, and I'm telling you this in church, and my wife hasn't heard this story, and I thought it was amazing to me. They were selling this stuff, this women's facial product, that came with a little machine that you pulled the trigger and it brushed all this stuff onto your face, and then it had a little airbrush tool where you could paint it. I sat and watched that. Why? Because I thought it was the coolest thing. Man, that's like painting. How much is that thing? Here's where I'm stupid. Are you ready? I actually heard myself say these words. Boy, I bet you Wendy would love to have something like that to help paint her face. And then the other half of my brain went, hey! Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I like the one where they get the pan, and the guy cooks cheese right in the pan. And then he just takes his fingers and flips the cheese out. He goes, see how this doesn't stick? Flip, just doesn't stick in there. So I bought one of those pans. It doesn't work. Had to throw the pan away. And I know better. But I didn't pay attention to the signs, did I? You can have this pan for $10, but wait. If you act now, we'll throw in this fancy rubber spatula. We'll throw in some keys to somebody's house. We'll throw in another pan. And we'll give you a money-back guarantee. You just pay the extra shipping and handling of $100,000. Oh, man, that's a deal. So, yes, I'm an idiot when it comes to those things. But too many people see the signs and ignore them. Too many people see that the signs are out there being showed and they walk away from them. And Timothy, being written to by Paul, is being laid out that in Mark chapter 16, we see the signs are plain. The disciples walked with him, heard Jesus say, I'm going to die and come back. And what did they do? They didn't believe. How is that possible? He was right there with them. And yet today, brothers and sisters, we believe strictly on faith. None of us in this room have seen Jesus yet. Would you like to? Yes, I would. Would I love to see him suddenly walk down that aisleway? Not right at this moment, because I'm afraid that would scare me a little too much. But the truth is, we're just as reluctant and lost as the disciples when we see the signs around us telling us to turn back to God, and we choose to ignore them. We want things to be our way no matter what. Even when we know it's the truth, even when somebody is telling us a lie and they're making it so believable, we still fall for it. See, Bubba and Joe was out elk hunting in Alaska. And I love this story. They had been out for days elk hunting. They had made arrangements that on a certain day the airplane was going to fly back in and pick them up and carry them out. Well, Bubba and Joe had shot four elk. And they had dressed them out. They had the meat all cordoned off and ready to go. They had the horns. They had everything ready to go. The plane landed. And the pilot got out of the plane. He said, "What do you got there?" "That's four elk." The pilot said, "My plane can carry three passengers, two elks, and some camping gear. And that's it." "Oh, no, sir. We signed up to carry all we could carry. We can carry." And they argued. And the pilot knew his plane. And finally, he got so wore down in arguing with them, he finally said, "Whatever, just load it on the plane." And so they loaded everything on the plane, and he got himself situated on the runway, and he fired the big prop up, and he held the brakes down for as long as he could on that thing to build up all the engine speed for the takeoff, and he let her off, and the plane flew up into the air. And shortly thereafter, crashed. And Bubba got out, and Joe got out, and the pilot got out. And the pilot was fuming. "You see, I told you. I told you you couldn't put that much in there. I told you you couldn't do this. What do you think of that?" And Bubba looked at him and goes, "Well, this was pretty good." And the pilot said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, we got 4 miles further than we did last year." You laugh because it's funny, but it's true. We hear the lie. And sometimes we just don't listen. Sometimes we just let ourselves get beat down to the point where all the signs are right there. Everything is right there. And we just choose not to believe it. Go back to Mark 16 for a minute. In the 11th verse, when they heard Jesus was alive, that she had seen him, they did not believe it. In the 13th verse, these returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. We have two occurrences where three, because the two men are the men who were on the road to Emmaus. We all know the story where Jesus came down and walked with them and talked with them. And they came back to the disciples, and the disciples knew these people and said, "Jesus was here. The prophecy has been fulfilled. He rose from the dead." What did they do? They didn't believe him. A lot of people come under conviction. They go to a certain church somewhere, and they get to hearing a fiery pastor. And they start to hear the words that he has to say, and they become enamored. "Oh my goodness, I got to do something with my life." And maybe they'll go back again the next Sunday and the next Sunday, and they'll keep listening, and it'll get all fired up. And then when the preacher makes those words, "Don't leave this church if you don't know Jesus," today is not the day. Today I'm not in the mood for it today, or I don't have the time, or the biggest one, and I've heard this, "I don't want to be embarrassed by all them people seeing me up front, seeing that I'm coming to the Lord." Are you nuts? They are going to be so wound up and so happy to see that somebody else is saved. You got to be careful of judgment, right? You got to be careful of those who would judge. I heard a story in these situations, and I want to caution you to being judgmental. There was a certain church where there was a lady at the church who was known to gossip. We'll just call her Sister Self-Righteous, shall we? And she was watching a new member who had come to church. And one day she happened to go by the local pub and saw that this fellow that had been coming to church, his truck was parked in the parking lot of that pub. Well, the next Sunday, she called him out in front of the whole congregation. How terrible it was. Now, this man could have said something, but he kind of smart feller and didn't say a whole lot. Sunday evening, after everybody went to bed, He took his old pickup truck and parked it in her driveway and then walked home and left it there all night. I tell people, when they see you coming up to the front of the church, there ain't no judgment. There is excitement. I remember, and I use him a lot, and thank goodness he did what he did. I remember the day that Leroy stepped out and started walking up the aisle, caught me completely off guard, melted me to the very buckles on my boots. I remember seeing other people come out. I remember them days when they used to have the great evangelistic ceremonies and the great revivals, and people would just, they would come up and fall down there in tears and shaking. They had sinned and they wanted to be saved. America, we need to get back to that. Brothers and sisters, we need to remind ourselves that when the Lord is showing us the signs, listen. Listen. Don't ignore them. It is the truth. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3 said the people were waiting expectantly. And all were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. And John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am unworthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather wheat into the barn. And he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Jesus Christ is coming back, is what that's saying. He's coming back to get us. One day, and those who didn't will be left behind. Breaks my heart, tears me apart. If you know people who are in that situation, you should pray for them always. And yet we still ignore the signs. We might be sitting next to a brother or sister in the pew who'd been coming on Sundays. Well, they're a good person. But have they made the walk? Have they said, Jesus Christ, save me? Have they become saved? Today we don't ignore the signs. Today we remember. Today, I love baptizing. I wish we had a river running out there so we could just wander down in there any old time we wanted. I loved it when we did the live water, but I'll take it anywhere. I don't care if it's a bathtub. I watched my stepmother get baptized into the Church of the Brethren to become a member in a swimming pool. I thought that was pretty good. But it's being baptized that we talk about. Verse 14, Mark chapter 16. Later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating and rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Verse 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. He did not say you have to baptize to be saved. He said the first things first is you have to believe. You have to take it into your heart. Jesus Christ, Son of God, brought here through the virgin birth of Mary, walked this earth as a man, was crucified for our sins, died, went to hell, fought it off, rose up 3 days later, and we saw him, and we believe in him, and he waits in heaven until the appointed time by his Father to come back and get us and take us home to life everlasting. That's what I'm talking about today. That's what baptism is. It is an outward sign of an inward change. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's where it's at. And that's why I get so fired up on it. Because the world has had its way with you until you come to that point. I was talking to Brother Allen back there a little bit ago. And I was asking him. He said, I drifted away. And I want to come back. I said, come on. I'll be with you here at Cowboy Church. It's what we do, brothers and sisters. But the bottom line is that once we have, we need to continue to show the sign that Jesus Christ lives in our heart. We need to continue to show it outwardly. Hey, I'm saved. Hey, this is what I believe. Hey, I walk with Him. Hey, let me tell you something about Him. We remember these things. And so today it is that sign. It is that calling. I remember my father talking about a feller in church, big man. Hard as nails. Had been one of them fellers that you just looked at and you knew he was just tough as iron. Would tell a joke every now and then. Didn't like to smile because his teeth were a little messed up. I remember him. Big man. When he would put his hand on my shoulder and push down, I'd fall over. I was a little bitty feller, but still, big man. And they laid into revival at Johnsontown Church of the Brethren. And my dad said he watched that feller white knuckle the back of that bench the first 3 nights. Conviction was on. The signs were showing. He was holding on to that bench with everything he had to try to not go up there. And finally it broke him. And the biggest man I ever saw came walking down there in tears and hit his knees. And the church stood up and ran to him. And they prayed over him. And after that, he didn't care anymore. He smiled, he laughed, he sang, he cried. And he went to meet his Lord, knowing that while he drifted away, he saw the signs and came back. That's who we ought to be like, brothers and sisters. That's who we ought to be like. In Acts chapter 8, we read again the words, and I just want to read them just for a minute, with Philip and the eunuch. In the 31st verse, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him about the good news of Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. It's that simple. When the signs are showing, pay attention. And then after you get done, you can be the one showing all the signs. And at this point, we're going to stop. And we're going to prepare to go down to the basement. And we're going to baptize. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You and I love You. And I want You to continue to lift us up in this service as we move on to the next part. I want You to remind us, Father, of who we are and what we are. And I would beg, Father, that You would burn mightily within hearts here, that they would remember their day, and that they would exhort forward and talk about the good news and the Word, and that they would accept these two brothers who are coming to You willingly. Father, bless these words. Watch over and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. Alan and Richie, come up here for a minute, please. I know some of you may not be able to go down, so at this time I'm going to have prayer with them, and then we're going to move down.